Good morning and happy anniversary. It's a joy to be here celebrating our 37th anniversary. Since October 13th, 1974 was the first worship service. That time, Pastor Jack Marshall presided over the first worship service, and since that time, OIC has had a long and blessed journey. And the road has not always been easy. There's been some challenging times, sometimes when things were a little bit difficult as well, but the Lord has always been with us, and he is still here with us today. Amen? Amen? OIC has been fruitful as a ministry. There have been many decisions for Jesus, many baptisms. I put just a couple of photos up here, but there are many, many people who've come to faith through the ministry of this church and the work the Lord has done here. There's also been some new churches and new ministries started out of the ministry of OIC, especially, I would say, Deaf Ministries International, that was sort of birthed or born out of OIC, and with Neville Meir and the ministry there. And we just praise the Lord for that, for the Lord's grace in all of these things. God is so good to us. We give thanks for these blessings. We look forward to seeing much more fruit come from the ministry in months and years in the future. Let's look forward joyfully to seeing that fruit and diligently pray and diligently work for the Lord to be glorified here. It is the Lord who builds his church, but he uses all of our efforts and our work as well in his work, and we give thanks for the privilege of serving him. Now, we've been studying in the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 2, we've begun to see the central role that the Holy Spirit takes on in the ministry of the church. And here as well today, it's the Holy Spirit and God at work through the Holy Spirit where we really see the ministry happen, and all of us serve in various roles. But it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that builds and strengthens the church. It's God's work. And I pray that as we're learning more about the work of the Holy Spirit, that we've all begun to thirst for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives and for a closer relationship with the Lord through his Spirit. And I remember back in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, maybe you remember as well, there's a place where Jesus is teaching, and he says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Wonderful words to guide our prayers. And just a few verses after this, though, Jesus reveals in Luke 11 that he's especially talking about asking, seeking, and knocking for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and to empower us. Jesus told his disciples, ask, seek, and knock. So let's be bold in our prayers as well and ask for more of the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and into our lives daily, that we might be filled with the Spirit to work for God and for his glory in this land. Now, we've been talking about different aspects of the Holy Spirit's work. Last week, we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And next week, we're going to go on into Acts chapter 3. But we're just going to pause today also, and as we're celebrating the anniversary, talk about one more aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. And we actually have here, this is actually a gift from Calvary Chapel Oceanside Women's Group. We have the fruits of the Spirit here on the lectern, on the pulpit as well. And we're going to read the Bible passage where those fruits of the Spirit come from. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. It's in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. But we're going to read on as far as chapter 6, verse 10, as we look at this. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to chapter 6, verse 10. We'll go that far. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. I grew up on a farm in northwest Missouri. We had a small farm there, at least in Missouri we would consider it a small farm, and we worked hard on that farm, and we were always out there doing different things. We had cattle, we had crops, you know. And this is a photo. This is near where I live. This is not actually our farm. I didn't have a good photo to show you. But this is close to where we live, is this kind of farmland with the pond and the fields and the trees all around. And it was a great place to grow up in many ways. Although we worked very hard, we also had a lot of fun. We went hunting, we went fishing, camping, swimming in the pond, you know, different things for fun. Maybe a little different than Osaka City. I wouldn't want to swim in the moat at Osaka Castle. It doesn't look so good. The pond doesn't look so clean either, but it's clean dirt. It looks dirty, but it's clean dirt. You don't have to worry about it. But, you know, we swam in the ponds. We had a lot of fun. Now, we had different kinds of crops and different things that we did, but our largest crop, the one that was always most profitable in good years at least, was our grandmother's farm was adjacent to ours, so we worked both. And on grandmother's farm, we would plant 20 acres of sweet corn every year. 20 acres, how much is that? Well, it's about 24,000 tsubo, roughly. And in a really good year, the harvest would be about 300,000 ears of corn. And you have to hand pick them all, you know, one by one you're picking the corn and it gets heavy and you're carrying it and it's a lot of work. But it's joyful because it's harvest time and there's a big harvest there. Now, 300,000 ears of corn, you might think, oh, wow, that you guys must have been rich with all this. No, not really. Not really, because wholesale prices were very low. And in a very good year, we might have 300,000 ears of corn. But in a very bad year, we would have very little if thunderstorms destroyed the crop or insects. And most years were somewhere in between. So we actually didn't have much money at all. But we had an important role, you know, and it was important work, you know, to grow food and to take care of things, you know, on the farm, and very fulfilling in many ways. In a really bad year, the whole crop might be lost. But we planted every year anyway, because that was it, you know, planting, sowing the seed, and waiting for a harvest. And we see that in OIC, you know, for 37 years, planting, sowing the seed, and harvest times come, and then some tough years come, and then some great years come. We just keep on planting the seed, knowing it will bring a wonderful harvest. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Galatians 6, 7. Obviously, if we had planted beans, we would not get a harvest of corn, right? You get what you sow. You sow, and that's the crop you get, at least when things are working right. And what would happen, though, if we deliberately planted weeds? We'll go out there and we'll just plant a lot of different weeds and stuff. Well, we'd get a whole field full of weeds, and it would not be valuable or very useful. Friends, my friend, your life is like a field. And what you choose to plant in your life is very important. What we plant in our lives is very important. In verses 19 to 21 in Galatians chapter 5, Paul gives a stern warning about the dangers of planting weeds in our lives. If we plant weeds in our lives, what kind of harvest do we get? Paul says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is a strong warning. It's a stern warning. We all need to take it to heart. Don't plant weeds in the field of your life because the crop is not pretty when we do that. Don't plant weeds. Plant better things. Plant good things that we might have a good harvest in our lives, in our homes, our churches, our community. In Galatians 6, 8, it says, "The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Paul is warning us and he's urging us to make good choices about what we choose to sow into our lives. To make good choices and sow good things into our lives. It's very important. But don't misunderstand what Paul is saying. Paul is not teaching salvation by works. He's not saying you can be saved by some kind of human effort. He's simply pointing out the consequences of good and bad choices in how we live and the things we say and do. In this same letter right here, just a couple of chapters earlier, Paul is strongly affirming salvation by grace through faith. So we know Paul is not going to contradict himself here. So let's go back and take a look at what he says about salvation real quick. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, Paul writes and he says, "Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. There's no salvation observing the law. There's no salvation in just human work or effort. We need faith in Christ Jesus for our salvation by the grace of God. Justification, therefore salvation, is received only through faith in Jesus. When Paul urges us to sow to please the Spirit, he's not teaching us some other way of being saved. He's teaching us how we should live after we have received grace and been saved through faith in Christ. The context of the verse makes that clear. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul wrote, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." But think about it. We cannot live by the Spirit unless we have received the Holy Spirit, and we receive the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. The leading of the Holy Spirit is something God places in our hearts. It's not an external set of rules like, oh, here's the rules, I'll check off these rules, and then I'm living by the Spirit. No, that's the law. Living by the Spirit is something God places in our hearts through His Spirit in us. So we draw that out and we live that day by day as the Spirit guides us from within. But each day we make decisions, and we make decisions of whether to obey the Spirit's leading in our lives or whether to ignore what the Spirit is saying and to choose a different path. And each time we choose to either obey the Spirit or to ignore the Spirit, to do something that we desire on our own, we're making a choice that is like sowing seeds in the field of our life, sowing good things in obedience to the Spirit or sowing weeds in obedience to the flesh and fleshly desires. And in time we reap a harvest of what we have planted. It's a famous quote I'd like to share. Maybe you've heard it before. It says, "Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. Now, this quote is attributed in some places to Charles Reed, and other places they say it's from Ralph Waldo Emerson. So I'm not sure which it really came from originally, and it's been requoted hundreds of times. But I think it's got a message for us here as well. When we think about and meditate on the things of God, the Holy Spirit will lead us to godly action, sowing according to the Spirit. And over time, those godly actions become godly habits, which produce a godly character in our lives. And when we become people of godly character, then we are ready to be used by God in amazing ways in His kingdom for His glory. Let's look back again at the fruits of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23 in Galatians 5 again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Do you ever notice the fruits of the Spirit aren't really actions? You know, you can't really, okay, now I'm going to do patience. It doesn't really work that way. The fruits of the Spirit don't describe what we do. They describe what kind of person we are and how we do things and how we react to things. The fruits of the Spirit, in other words, are not so much about actions that we do as they are about the character, the nature, what kind of heart we have with which we carry out those actions and that brings our speech and things. It's about our character on the inside. If we meditate on the things of God, on His Word especially, and we learn from Him and we trust in Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into us and leads us, and we grow godly character in our hearts through consistently obeying the leading of the Holy Spirit. We meditate on the love of God. We learn to love our neighbor. When we meditate on the joy of the Lord, we begin to experience joy in our lives. When we meditate on the peace of Christ, we begin to experience that peace that passes all understanding. We develop, we grow godly character when we sow obedience to the Spirit in all of these ways. Sow to the Holy Spirit, live by the Spirit, and you will reap a wonderful harvest of godly character. Notice that this last week we talked about the gifts of the Spirit, and this worked quite differently than the gifts of the Spirit. You know, when you think of a gift, you know, someone comes and they bring a gift and they give it to you, and you receive the gift, and then you have it. It kind of happens all at once. You receive the gift, oh, I've got the gift. But the fruits of the Spirit don't work that way, because God doesn't just give you the fruit of the Spirit. You sow obedience to the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit grows in your life over time. It doesn't happen suddenly or all at once like the gifts of the Spirit may, but it's growing. And it takes time to grow things. Remember, I grew up on a farm. I know. You plant the seed and you can sit there and look, but it does not grow the same day that you plant it. It takes time. And it takes time to develop the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Fruit does not just spring up all at once or overnight. It's very interesting to me that, you know, you look through Scripture and you see Paul speaks of the fruits of the Spirit, but there isn't anywhere I can find that it speaks of the vegetables of the Spirit or the grain of the Spirit, you know? It's just not in there. Why? Why doesn't the Word of God talk about the vegetables of the Spirit? Does God have something against vegetables? No, that's not what it is. I think it has something to do with the fact that it takes time to grow fruit. And the choice, the symbol of the fruit of the Spirit speaks not only of the good things that the Spirit brings, but also of the fact that it takes time to grow these things in your life. grains, vegetables, you grow in a few weeks or maybe a few months. But you can plant apple seeds, but you won't get a harvest in a few weeks or a few months. It takes a lot longer. Fruit takes a lot longer to grow than vegetables or grains like rice and corn and wheat. Back in Missouri on the farm, you know, grandmother had the sweet corn field we talked about a little while ago, the 20 acres, and every year we would plant and get a harvest from them. Grandma also had a few apple trees and peach trees. And, you know, we really enjoyed the apples and the peaches picked straight off the tree and started eating it when we were kids. But the fruit was mostly for us because we didn't really grow enough fruit to really sell it very much. It was pretty much we ate it or we made it into jellies or jams or apple pies and enjoyed it that way. But I remember from time to time there was sort of a discussion, you know, maybe after dinner in the house about maybe we should plant more fruit trees. Maybe we should have a whole orchard of apples or peaches. And then we could grow them and sell them as well. It might have gone something like this. You know, you're at dinner, you're eating, you finish your mashed potatoes. Some of you don't even know what mashed potatoes are. That's okay. You finish your rice. And then maybe mom would say something like, wouldn't it be nice to have a whole orchard of fruit trees and then we could sell the fruit each year? And dad might kind of look down and pretend he didn't hear for a moment, but then he might answer, you know, he might say, do you know how long it takes to grow an orchard? Do you know how long it takes to grow an orchard with all of that fruit? It takes a long time to grow fruit. If you just start with seeds, you know, you finish eating your apple, you got the seeds, oh, I'm going to go plant these and grow apple trees. It'd be maybe 10 years before you get your first harvest, maybe, planting apple seeds. Maybe 20 years before the trees are full grown and able to provide a large harvest. Now, you can shorten the process if instead of starting with seeds, if you buy, you know, small trees that are already several years old from somebody else and plant them. But even then, it's still going to take a few years to produce any fruit. Growing fruit is not for the impatient person. It takes patience to grow fruit. And I love my dad. I loved him. But patience and long-term planning were not his strong points. And Dad wasn't going to start growing an orchard knowing it might take 10 or 20 years before it really began to produce a lot. He liked corn. 2 or 3 months. And then you've got a harvest. He wasn't willing to take on a lot of hard work at the beginning to wait many years for a harvest. What about us? You want the fruits of the Spirit in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience. It's a lot of hard work up front to begin planting and sowing to the Spirit. And it takes time before you see the harvest. In most cases, it takes a long time before a person really begins to develop the fruits of the Spirit in their life. But it's worth it. It's blessed. It's wonderful. The problem a lot of us have is a little like the problem my father had with the idea of growing an orchard. You know, we have the same kind of problem with the fruits of the Spirit. You know, we want patience now. We want it, and we want it now. We don't want to wait for years of development of patience in our heart. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, I don't know any shortcuts to recommend to you. You got to plant the seeds, and you've got to be patient. Plant, cultivate, take care, and grow the fruits of the Spirit in your life. You know, I'm working on it. I got a long way to go. Some people know that my patience is not always as good as it could be. It's got a long way to go in all the fruits of the Spirit, but if we sow the seed to the Spirit and we wait, we'll develop all of these things. You know, if you want to, as one person put it this way, you know, if you want to develop a broccoli character in your life, you can do that pretty fast because broccoli grows quickly. But if you want strong character like oak tree character, it's going to take some time. It doesn't happen instantly. It takes time. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will grow that strong and blessed character that shows the fruits of the Spirit in your life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, we find this verse. It says, this is a powerful verse. It speaks a lot to us. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. If we turn away from that which is dishonorable and sow to the Spirit, we will reap a harvest of righteousness in our lives and a godly character, and we will be ready to serve the master of the house. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be ready to serve the master of the house effectively in many ways for every good work. See, there's all these tasks of good work that the Lord has prepared for his people. But we need to develop our character to be ready to do many of these things. And it takes time to grow that spiritual fruit. But the reward is worth it. There's a heavenly reward for those who take the time to develop spiritual, godly character, showing the fruits of their Spirit in their lives. Now today we're celebrating here at OIC our 37th anniversary. And we're having a good celebration. We're enjoying it. We've had some special music. We had the children share with us a little bit. We got a lot of food up on the second floor waiting for us, and it's a very blessed thing. But this is just a small celebration. When we go home to heaven, there's going to be a big party. And there's going to be a lot of celebration. And we're going to go home. We're going to be with our Lord Jesus forever and ever. And there's going to be rewards for those who took the time to develop the fruit of the Spirit and godly character and to serve the Lord. It's my prayer that all of us will be there on that day and that many of us will receive good rewards for our service to the Lord in this life. Sow the good seed. Grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And on that day, when we're home in heaven, you'll receive a reward from the Lord. Perhaps a crown of glory that Peter speaks about in 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, right, the chief shepherd, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Creator God, thank you for these years of fruitful ministry that you've given to OIC. Thank you for the wonderful good news of Jesus that you have provided for us through his finished work on the cross, where he died for us that we might have forgiveness of sins and the free gift of eternal life. Thank you for the resurrection, the promise of eternal life made sure and proven. Thank you for your Holy Spirit given to lead us, to guide us in our lives, to strengthen and empower us for ministry. Loving Lord, I pray that each and every person here today might know the joy of walking with Jesus and living by his Spirit. Open our eyes, open our hearts to understand the gospel that we might see Jesus. Pour out your Spirit on your people, O Lord. Lord, we pray for the gifts of the Spirit, that we might serve in your kingdom effectively. Lead us, guide us, protect us from temptation. Help us to make the decision daily to sow to the Spirit, to grow spiritual fruit in our lives. For your glory, O Lord. Bless this church, all of our church family, each and every one. Also our family, our friends, our neighbors in this city, throughout Japan and throughout the world. Pour out your grace. Heal this land. Restore your people. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.